The Exchange Daily Podcast is brought to you by
Doucette Survey, serving your professional land surveying and mapping needs in New England, now with offices in New Hampshire and Maine. Information at doucetsurvey.com. That's doucetsurvey.com.
And Dartmouth Hitchcock, creating a new model for healthcare where leading health systems collaborate to improve care for all of us. A sustainable system improving the health of our communities for years to come. Information at imagine.d-h.org.
And Northeast Credit Union, helping their members save money through free checking accounts and refinancing of auto, home, and personal loans. Northeast Credit Union, encouraging you to discover the difference at necu.org. Federally insured by NCUA, equal housing opportunity.
Enjoy the show.
From New Hampshire Public Radio, I'm Laura Kanoy, and this is The Exchange. Almost 3 years ago, New Hampshire's community college system announced its new chancellor, Ross Gatell. Long known for his analysis of the New Hampshire and New England economies, Gatell came to the job with stellar credentials, educated at Harvard, a distinguished professor at UNH, and forecast manager for the New England Economic Partnership. But after years of economic analysis, Gatell has now been putting his ideas into practice, leading hands-on the institutions that are charged with training a sizable chunk of the Granite State workforce, and by extension, bolstering our economy. Still, while our growth rate has improved since the recession, New Hampshire seems to be lagging New England instead of leading as it once did. Today in The Exchange, we'll talk to Chancellor Gatell about that in both his roles as economic forecaster and higher education leader. And let's hear from you too this hour, your questions and observations about the health of New Hampshire's economy and what part the community college system plays in that. Join us at 1-800-892-6477. 1-800-892-NHPR. Send us an email, exchange@nhpr.org. Find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Chancellor Gatell, good to have you. Thanks for your time.
Good to be with you, Laura.
Well, I'd like to spend a couple minutes, if we could, by putting on your New England Economic Partnership hat. Earlier in the fall, the partnership reported that growth rates for New England and New Hampshire would remain below the national average. And I have to say, we sitting here in New England have to wonder, how come?
Well, part of it is demographics, an aging population, a slow-growing population, a relatively low percentage of the population that's young and entering the labor market now. So there's not that much opportunity to grow. For example, New Hampshire and Vermont, two states in New England, have two of the lowest unemployment rates in the nation. New Hampshire's right now at 4.2%. Well below the national rate, which is 5.8%. So it's not because we have a high unemployment or a lack of opportunity in New Hampshire as much as it is that we have that slow-growing population and an aging population. And on some cost issues, including energy costs, including some other costs, New Hampshire doesn't fare well compared to some other states and globally. So, the good news in the economy is that the national economy is finally getting some traction and growing. The recent jobs report was quite strong. There's indications nationally that the wage growth is starting to appear, which hasn't been the case in this recovery. The bad news for the region, the New England region and New Hampshire, is that slow growth that you mentioned. And part of it is the demographics that I mentioned. Another part is some employers are looking for skilled workers that are not available, and that's some issue. That's an issue that we're focused on in the community college system, is aligning our education and training programs with the emerging needs of industry, and this includes in advanced manufacturing, in healthcare, and IT, where there are jobs available right now. But there's not that skilled labor force to fill those jobs adequately.
Well, I definitely want to ask you about the skills gap, why other areas of the country seem to be addressing it perhaps better than us here in New England. But a couple more just raw economic questions for you, if I could, Chancellor Gatell. Among the six New England states, again, your forecast manager for the New England Economic Partnership, who came out on top in your most recent reports?
Yeah, no, as far as current performance, it's Massachusetts. Massachusetts has the strongest economy in the New England region now, and it's really a result of the Boston, Cambridge, the Boston metropolitan area economy with a very strong IT foundation and a growing IT foundation, world-class research universities led by innovation and new product development at Massachusetts Institute of Technology, and that Boston-Cambridge economy is really driving the Massachusetts economy. And one element of the strong Boston economy is Boston's become an attractive place for those young adults, those between 25 and 34, who now are staying in the greater Boston area and starting their careers there because there are jobs available in emerging technology firms, some of which are founded and based in the Boston area, others of which there's, Silicon Valley name brand companies like Google, like Apple, that are opening locations in Boston and Cambridge and growing those locations because of the skilled workers coming out of the greater Boston area.
So a little Bay State envy here in the Granite State, Chancellor Gattell.
Well, we can have some of that envy, but we could also do what we've done in the past, which is leverage that strong Boston-Cambridge economy. And as we've done in the past, when those young adults are looking to start families, looking for to buy a home, that New Hampshire becomes a good place not only to move but also to start their own business or to grow a business if we have that skilled labor supply here in the state, as we had over the last three decades of the 20th century when we experienced significant growth.
And here's another question that comes up for me, Chancellor Gattell, when I hear you talk about Massachusetts. You know, they've had that high-tech advantage for a long time. They've had that higher education advantage forever. I mean, Boston is so much the home of so many institutions of higher learning. And yet for many, many years, as you know, New Hampshire still led New England. So what's the sort of relative slippage there? That advantage that Massachusetts has now that you mentioned has been there for a long time, and yet we used to do pretty well compared to Massachusetts. I just wonder what's changed.
Yeah, no, and I'll go back to the demographics. A big part of the New Hampshire advantage was that baby boom generation, those born between 1946 and 1964, that migrated into the state. And New Hampshire is one of the highest percentage or proportions of its population in that baby boom generation. And that baby boom generation, a lot migrated to New Hampshire with that, with those skills, with the higher education. Two-thirds of adults in New Hampshire with a bachelor's degree were born in another state, and we had that that baby boom cohort that moved into the state, provided that skilled workforce, started companies, and helped New Hampshire grow and be the strongest performing economy in many respects in the northeastern United States over a 2-3 decade period. Now, a lot of those baby boomers are reaching towards retirement, if not retiring. And therefore, companies that are looking to grow are locating or growing their businesses outside of New Hampshire. So that demographic dynamic tied to the skilled workforce was really driving New Hampshire, plus New Hampshire being in an advantageous geographic position, being able to recruit people and companies from that Boston, Cambridge, high-tech, higher education core that we're located, particularly the southeastern part of New Hampshire, is well-positioned to leverage that advantage.
Today in The Exchange, Ross Gattell is with us. He's Chancellor of the Community College System of New Hampshire and also Forecast Manager for the New England Economic Partnership. You can join us with your questions and comments, 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange at nhpr.org. Let's hear from you, your questions, observations about the health of New Hampshire's economy. And also a little bit later, we'll talk about what part the community college system plays in that economic health. It's your chance to talk with Chancellor Gattell. So join us, 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange at nhpr.org. I also want to remind everybody that it is NHPR's December fund drive. You can make a gift to support the exchange at nhpr.org. So a little bit more, if we could, on this 4.2% unemployment rate, which is very good, as you told us, Chancellor Gattel. But then you also said in a recent report, a summary of the New England Economic Partnership forecast, quote, income growth for the majority of New Hampshire residents has been weak or non-existent. So just match that up for us, if you could, please. It's great. We have a very low unemployment rate. People are working. But it sounds like they're working at low wages and not getting raises.
Yeah, and that's not just the New Hampshire situation. It was a national phenomenon coming out of this recession that with the prolonged or delayed recovery from the recession, even with some job growth nationally and in New Hampshire, there wasn't the wage growth, because it was that, you know, the employers were in an advantageous position with regards to, you know, their negotiations and their ability to hold wages low, relatively low, or not raise them compared to the labor market, because the jobs weren't forthcoming in this recovery. And just now, nationally, we're starting to see that wage pickup, and we're seeing signs of that in New Hampshire, but it's different than previous recessions and recovery from recessions, where New Hampshire has led the New England region, and that included an income growth. So it's a different labor market now for New Hampshire and nationally than it was coming out of other recoveries. And it really is something beyond New Hampshire, this income growth and wage situation. I think it's going to start improving with the improving national economy, and improving particularly for those workers who have the skills that are most in demand by employers. So that includes skills related to a knowledge-based economy, those skills in science, technology, engineering, and mathematics, where there's a high labor market demand and relatively low supply, not only in New Hampshire, but nationally. So it's not across the board that we're going to see wage increases. It's particularly concentrated. It's going to be particularly concentrated where the high demand fields are, and that includes those in the so-called STEM areas.
Yeah, and in just a minute, we'll definitely get into both your work in that area, the STEM area, and also the whole K-12 pipeline, you know, getting younger kids hooked up with higher education. But just one more question about this wage growth, or lack thereof, as you're telling us. Is there something policy-wise here in the Granite State, Chancellor Gattel, that is encouraging business growth in lower paid sectors like, you know, retail or fast food, and discouraging growth in higher paid sectors?
Yeah, I think, you know, the composition of the New Hampshire economy has been pretty well established over the past two decades, with some, you know, increased concentration in the financial services area and professional and business services. But let's say the basic mix, which includes a relatively high proportion of retail sales jobs, it has been set by fiscal policy, which is the absence of a retail sales tax. So we're going to have a relatively high concentration in New Hampshire in retail employment, because we tend to attract retailers because of the tax advantage with the absence of a retail sales tax.
All right. Well, more conversation with Chancellor Ross Gattel, head of the community college system here in New Hampshire. We'll talk more about the skills gap, also New Hampshire's high school and college graduation rates. We'll also start taking your calls. You can join us at 1-800-892-6477. More of The Exchange in just a moment. Let's check in with our December fund drive. This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Today in The Exchange, Ross Gattel is here, Chancellor of the Community College System of New Hampshire and Forecast Manager for the New England Economic Partnership. We're talking this hour with Ross Gattel about both of those roles as economic forecaster and higher education leader. And let's hear from you, your questions and observations about where you see New Hampshire's economy going, where you see the workforce going, and what part the community college system plays in that. Join us 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR. And Chancellor Gattel, let's go right to our listeners. And Shelley's calling from Concord. Hi, Shelley. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi. Good morning.
Morning.
A comment. I have had this thought in my mind for a while. I have a daughter who is a sophomore at NHTI, and she is doing general studies. I wondered if you know, I've thought and I've talked to her about maybe, you know, experimenting a little bit and doing some type of internship with in different industries so that she could kind of have that hands-on experience and some knowledge to see what these things, you know, what these different jobs, you know, entail on a daily basis. So I think it would be great if we had a class that would give credit for students maybe during a semester could visit four or five of these industries that are really lacking these experienced and educated workforce.
Great. And yeah, Shelley, it's a good question. Job shadowing, practical hands-on experience for sure. Chancellor Gattell, what do you think? Thanks, Shelley, for the call.
Yeah, yes, the practical experience is very important. When I was at University of New Hampshire, I started a course in high-tech internships for students, and many of the students really benefited in a broad ways in being part of that course. Not only did they gain practical knowledge, but then they also had good connections for jobs when they graduated. And NHTI has very strong programs, including strong programs with a clinical requirement, such as nursing and the dental program, where the clinical experience, the hands-on experience, help the students gain the knowledge needed in the workplace and then get them connected to employers so they're able to place in good positions at good wages with those companies upon graduation. Shelley mentioned that her daughter's in a general studies program, which is good for a lot of students who then take that foundation, strong foundation in the writing and communication and some of the math and other fundamentals, but then get exposure to different types of more career-oriented programming, like the nursing, like information technology, which an institution like NHTI and our other six community colleges can provide exposure to for students. So the community colleges really mix that kind of liberal arts, more strong general studies foundation, along with career-oriented programs where students get that clinical, that internship-type experience and benefit from both.
If you're in a general studies program, though, how would you decide what industry to internship in? I mean, certainly if you're in the dental program, you're going to go work in a dentist's office. But a general studies person, where would they even begin to think about going?
Yeah, no, it's a good question. And, you know, students change over time what their interests are. Part of how they might change is affected by what they're exposed to. So if you're at a community college that has a broad cross-sections of programs, I mean, I talked about the nursing program, the dental program, but our other colleges have programs, you know, in a veterinary technician, a automotive technologist. And students could say, well, I'll try your course, or I just made a new friend who's in that program and that interests me. So the student could take courses across a broad range, again, that mix of liberal arts and more career-oriented programs, and see what they're truly interested in. And over time, then they could figure out what to major in. If they want to stay on more in the liberal arts and general studies, they could use that as a foundation to take 2 years and get an associate's degree at the community college at an affordable tuition, and then go on to a four-year institution, do another 2 year, and do a major and graduate with a bachelor's degree.
Well,
so there's that
yeah.
flexibility. The flexibility is important.
I definitely want to ask you about that connection between the two-year degrees that you usually get at community colleges and how you connect that to a four-year institution. Shelley, thank you very much, and good luck to your daughter. The number here in the exchange for you to join us like Shelley did is 1-800-892-6477. We're talking about the New Hampshire economy and then more specifically about workforce development here in the Granite State with Ross Gattell, Chancellor of the Community College System of New Hampshire and Forecast Manager for the New England Economic Partnership. The number for you to join us is 1-800-892-6477. Email is exchange at nhpr.org. So, Chancellor Gattell, the connection with four-year institutions like UNH, this has been a long-term project here. How easy is it now if I graduate with a two-year associate's degree at NHTI like Shelley's daughter? How easy is it then to just jump in and become a junior at UNH with all those credits transferring right over?
Well, in the last 3 years, we've made a lot of progress with the university system of New Hampshire to establish strong articulation agreements which enable students to take their first 2 years at a community college and then take their last 2 years at a university system institution and graduate first with the two-year associate's degree and then with the four-year bachelor's degree. And their programs were focusing on STEM degrees, science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. And then also we're going to expand that in other areas. And there's a commitment from both systems to enabling that 2+2 and to get a student on that pathway towards an affordable higher education so we have that skilled workforce in New Hampshire to support a strong economy, as we talked about when we focused on the economic needs of the state of New Hampshire. And really requires faculty engagement, and our faculty at both systems have been very hard working on this and very committed to those pathways for students. We still have a ways to go, but we have some very innovative programs, which I'd like to speak to. One is we're launched just this year a pilot program between Great Bay Community College and the University of New Hampshire, where a student gets duly admitted to both the Great Bay Community College and UNH, and then does their first 2 years at Great Bay, and maintains a 2.5 GPA, and then they go to UNH.
Wow, automatic pipeline.
Automatic pipeline, and we're going to spread that to our seven other community colleges, and that will actually start when the student starts at the community college. They'll have advisors from both the community college and also the University of New Hampshire. So it puts the student on that pathway towards advancement. And again, it's beneficial for the student and it's beneficial for the state's economy to keep more of our graduates in state and to support that strong high-skilled economy. And both systems are truly committed to this, starting with a commitment to double the number of STEM degrees awarded in New Hampshire by 2025. And we're actually well ahead of our goal with regards to STEM degree completion. And STEM degrees, again, is critical, most critical, for a strong New Hampshire economy.
Well, I definitely want to ask you about that pathway, Chancellor Gattell. Earlier this week, we spoke with a longtime higher education reporter, Goldie Blumenstich. She had a book just looking at higher education in this country. She said while 80% of community college students intend to continue on to that four-year institution, like you talked about 17% actually end up doing so. What do you think about that apparent mismatch between students' goals when they enter community college and then what ends up happening?
Well, part of it is learning about other opportunities, Laura. Part of it is about learning more about themselves and what they're truly interested in. So in New Hampshire, and this is New Hampshire data specific, an associate's degree holder has a 28% increase in income over a high school graduate, and over a lifetime earns $500,000 more than a high school graduate. And there's some very interesting fields that a community college graduate with that as a terminal degree could enter. And that includes, I mentioned them before, but the automotive technology, the nursing programs, which we're actually focusing more on the bachelor's degree now, the dental programs, and some areas in advanced manufacturing, which we've increased our focus on. And, you know, students could find that very attractive to do their two-year degree, keep their cost of education relatively low, and find good employment, particularly in advanced manufacturing these days, in the state of New Hampshire.
So they don't need that four-year degree.
Good pathway. So they don't need that four-year degree. So, and again, students, young people, it's very important to make sure they have a strong educational foundation, which they get at community colleges. It's very important that they get exposed to a diversity of career opportunities, some of which might only require a two-year degree, but then that you have a percentage, and whether it's 17% or maybe we should aspire to a little higher through these pathways with the university system, there are a percentage that will go on to a degree beyond the associate's degree. But we have to also give the opportunity for options, and there's a lot of evidence that some bachelor's degree programs, when the students finish those, there aren't jobs there. While there's an associate degree programs as a terminal degree where there are good jobs which end up paying more than the bachelor's degree. So I think we have to recognize there's more than one way, and we have to give students flexibility, and we have to enable that flexibility, but it has to be aligned with where the jobs are, where the opportunities are, and where the student interests are.
Well, and I think what I'm hearing from you, Chancellor Gattel, is that maybe there's a little bit of snobbishness at work here, that the four-year degree is always best and you should always go on to that institution of higher learning. And you're saying not necessarily.
Yeah, you know, I don't know what you want to call it. I might not call it snobbishness. It's somewhat a lack of awareness of these opportunities. It's also a function of a changing labor market. I mean, advanced manufacturing jobs, manufacturing is not what it used to be when you and I were in college. And whereas it might have been perceived as, you know, not a good career job, now, you know, a lot of advanced manufacturing positions are more IT-oriented, product development-oriented, require skill management skills, managing teams, innovation. And you provide opportunities for people to really advance themselves economically, but also contribute to new technological development, new product development. And it's very exciting. And there's those opportunities in New Hampshire in advanced manufacturing. Same thing in automotive. You look inside a car and all the electronics, and some of our graduates from the auto programs, you know, they'll place in jobs that will provide very good quality of life over a long term because of the upskilled nature of those positions. It's very different what an automotive technician does and earns now than 20 years ago. So it's a changing economy, and we have to ensure that education, higher education is our focus right now, is aligned with those changes. But we always have to focus on our students and provide them with an affordable and flexible opportunity to excel academically, but also longer term in the labor market.
Well, and Chancellor Gattel, we keep talking about, you know, science, technology, engineering, and math, high-tech manufacturing, all the great opportunities there. I also, though, keep hearing about a need for a healthcare workforce here in New Hampshire, especially with more people having coverage and an aging population. It seems like there's a couple forces that are coming together that says we're going to need more healthcare workers.
Oh, yeah, and, you know, that's nationally in New Hampshire. In New Hampshire, it's even more pronounced than nationally because our aging population, which we talked about earlier, and the healthcare industry is changing fast. There's a need to bring down cost or bring down the rising cost of healthcare, and healthcare is being reinvented at a necessity, and it's also changed in regard to its use of technology. So there's a whole emerging area around what's called virtual healthcare, and it's really take your smartphone and all the things that you'll be able to do with your smartphone, with your smartwatch, monitoring your health, diagnostics, interacting with healthcare providers. And those healthcare providers will not just be your primary care physician or your specialist, but there'll be community healthcare workers, there'll be population healthcare workers who work with communities in wellness programs. And there's a lot of opportunities to bend that cost curve in healthcare to improve healthcare, but that's going to require a changed healthcare workforce. So that's something the community college system is moving forward on, working with leading healthcare experts, including those at Dartmouth-Hitchcock, to figure out, you know, where's that puck going to be in healthcare in the future? What kind of workforce is required? So we want to be able to train. We want to be able to train our students, educate our students on where the healthcare industry needs are going to be for the next 20 years, and that includes in the whole area of virtual healthcare. So
okay. Chancellor Gattel, I'm sorry, I've got to jump in there for just a minute. I definitely want to ask you a little bit more about that after a short break. We need to check in now very quickly with our December Fund Drive. This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Today in The Exchange, we're talking with Ross Gattel, Chancellor of the Community College System of New Hampshire and Forecast Manager of the New England Economic Partnership. We've been looking at some of the big economic trends driving New England and the New Hampshire economies, and also the role of the community college system in better training the workforce to meet emerging economic needs. 1-800-892-6477 is the number for you to join us. Email is exchange@nhpr.org. You can find us on Facebook. Facebook or Twitter. Chancellor Gattell, here's an email that just came in from Paula. She says, although it is consistently being said that one can get a two-year degree at the community colleges and transfer to a four-year college for 2 years, so that's that 2+2 you talked about, Paula says, in fact, I've heard many times that what happened to my niece is quite common. She earned an associate degree from Manchester Tech in education. When she went to transfer to UNH, she had to do 3 years because not all of her credits were accepted as transferable. I want to ask you about that, but Paula also has another question. She says, also, all colleges report their attrition rate on their websites as required by law. If students don't understand what that means and don't dig to search what it is, they'll be surprised at the incredibly dismal rate at NHTI in particular. Paula, thanks for the email. Let's deal with the transfer question first, because this comes up a lot, and we were just talking about it before the break, Chancellor Gattell.
Right, right. And she had mentioned, you know, Manchester Tech, and it's actually changed. It's the graduate might have been there a while ago, because it's now Manchester Community College. It's a comprehensive community college, and we've improved over time and still improving those articulation agreements that I spoke about with the university system and other four-year institutions, including Southern New Hampshire University. And what is the quality of the academic programs have improved quite significantly at our community colleges. And also our relationships with the four-year institutions have improved, and it's benefiting students. In the past, it has been difficult, but that's been a focus and a priority of our board at the community college system and a priority of the board and the leadership of the university system to improve those articulation agreements. So, you know, it's important that it's recognized that it had been difficult in the past and that we need to improve it, and we are improving it. But I appreciate the emailer's comments. With regards to the attrition rate, or, you know, the graduation rate at an institution like NHTI, it's true at community colleges across the country. One of the real values, one of the real benefits of community colleges are their open access. And students, you know, graduates of high schools could go to community colleges, and there's not the same requirements as there are in competitive bachelor's institutions. And we provide the students with that opportunity to succeed. But it also means, since we are open access, that some percentage of our students don't have the skills and ability, don't have the college, aren't prepared for college-level math, for example. And that's often makes it very challenges for students to do well. And then we also have students who come to our programs, including older students who are just looking for one course and a retraining and not to complete a degree program. So that's some of the reasons for the relatively low graduation rates at community colleges compared to bachelor's awarding institutions.
So you need to look at those numbers with a couple grains of salt? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, at least a couple of grains of salt. You know, and it's important for people to look at those, to try to improve them over time, and to understand what they mean.
Well, Paula, thanks for the email. And I want to ask another question based on what she said. We've been talking about it from the student experience, making it easier for community college students to transfer seamlessly to that higher education or that four-year institution. Here's my question, though. It seems to me it's about a lot more than just the agreements, you know, that we've been talking about. Those UNH professors, to use the example of UNH, need to know that the incoming community college student received high-quality instruction, that she or he, you know, got the knowledge base at that community college to be able to succeed at UNH. So it seems like it requires more than just a good agreement on paper. It requires a guarantee, really, that at the community college level, yes, you are receiving instruction that is, you know, at the same level of quality that you would get at UNH.
Yeah, that's a very important point, Lauren. Last spring, UNH hosted a STEM summit, and there were faculty in the different STEM disciplines, science, engineering, and within science, you know, there was biology and physics, and then there was mathematics faculty, and faculty from UNH sat down with faculty from in those disciplines. So the math faculty at UNH sat down with the math faculty from our seven community colleges and looked at the curriculum at the community colleges and worked through articulation agreements, because the only way you could have well-working articulation agreements is if faculty from UNH and from the community college system work together And it's we're assuring at the community college system that the quality of programs is very high and meets the standards, our own standards, and also the standards of the four-year institutions to enable those strong articulation agreements and strong pathways for our students. And faculty are doing that. And the STEM Summit in the spring was exactly what you're talking about, faculty to faculty ensuring quality and enabling those articulation agreements.
And I did want to ask you about the faculty at NHTI, since Paula raises that one in particular at the bottom of her email. There have been concerns on campus, at least at NHTI in Concord, I'm not sure about the rest of the community college system, about faculty cuts. People are saying more administrative positions have been created, faculty positions have been cut, and there's concern, Chancellor Gattell, that the quality of education that community college students receive will be diminished by these faculty cuts. And I just wonder what you think. This ties into what we're talking about, a high-quality community college experience students can succeed.
Yeah, ensuring that high-quality education is very challenging in the economic and fiscal environment that we're facing in New Hampshire. And there's also the environment of community colleges nationally. And community colleges enrollment is countercyclical. That means when the economy improves, community college enrollment tends to go down. And nationally, community college enrollment over the last year is down about 10%. And in New Hampshire, we're actually doing much better than the national average. Our enrollment is up about 4%, but our credits sold, which we're highly dependent upon, is just up about a little over 1%, 1.4%. And that's lower than was budgeted by institutions, by our institutions. Our seven institutions do their own budgeting and credit sold and enrollment projections. So when an institution like NHTI doesn't meet its enrollment and credit sold forecast, it has to adjust. We're very much tuition-dependent institutions because our relatively low public support, state support, compared to other states.
So enrollment's not where you want it to be.
Well, it's very positive compared to the national average. It's lower than it was budgeted. For example, at NHTI, hasn't experienced the growth that our other colleges have. So administrators, along with faculty there, have to make decisions how to meet the budget. And the decision was made there on how to meet the budget without sacrificing the quality of instruction and the quality of programs. And our leadership there has done a very good job. And the focus is on the high-quality programs and affordability, so not raising tuition.
Well, we'll be entering the budget season as soon as the new year begins, as you know, Chancellor Gattell, and institutions of state government will be asking the legislature for more money, as they often do. Governor Hassan has already said, hold on. What are you going to make in terms of a case for your budget before the legislature?
As our conversation here strongly indicates, the future of the New Hampshire economy depends on that highly skilled workforce. It depends upon ensuring that our high school graduates stay in New Hampshire and complete post-secondary training and education that's aligned with the economy, and that's fundamental to a strong economy and enabling economic opportunity in the state of New Hampshire. What we're asking for the state, the governor and the state legislature, is to hold our funding constant in the first year of the budget, in fiscal year 2016, and then provide us with additional funding that we will totally commit that additional funding to lowering tuition because affordability is key. And then in the second year, 2017, following the governor's guidelines to just put in a 3% increase, following the governor's guidelines on that 2016 request. So basically we're asking for flat funding plus a small increase and that small increase would be totally dedicated to reducing tuition, to improve affordability and improve the numbers of New Hampshire students who go on to college in New Hampshire and get the skills and education to support a strong economy.
Okay. Chancellor Gattell, we have to wrap it up there. Thank you very much for being with us this hour. We really appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you, Laura.